For this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Tyra Banks for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Essence. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine Online. Men and women can be platonic friends. Sometimes they're just destined to be more. When Ava and Cedric met at D-Nice's club, quarantine event post-pandemic, their connection initially seemed like more like a network opportunity than anything else. And this article is called Bridal Bliss. Ava and Cedric brought their favorite people to Italy for a luxurious Lake Como wedding. And this is by Elizabeth Ayula. They began meeting at Soho House downtown LA to discuss partnership opportunities and learn more about one another. But because intimate connections are built on lengthy conversations, the exchanging of personal details, shared values, quality time, these meetings became a breeding ground for romance. The two ended up connecting every week. What began as meetings about business opportunities gradually evolved into friendship, then dating, and ultimately a relationship built on trust, partnership, and genuine love, Ava tells Essence. At some point during the dating phase, you realize the person you're making a scrapbook of memories with is your person. For Cedric, he knew Ava was his forever because of the way she made him feel. I knew Ava was my person because she brought a sense of peace, fun, and balance into the life that I had never experienced before, he says, adding that she brought perspective, encouragement, and unwavering support to his demanding day-to-day as an entrepreneur. For Ava, consistency was the telltale sign. I knew Cedric was my person because he consistently showed up for me. He made me feel safe, supported, and deeply loved, she says. Cedric's intentional approach to life through purpose, vision, and determination, while centering loved ones, also convinced Ava that he was her happily ever after. The couple wed on June 1st, 2024, in the stunning Lake Como, located in the Lombardy region of northern Italy. Their venue of choice was the Relais Villa Vittoria, which provided picturesque mountain views on their big day. Looking back, it's amazing to think that a connection that started with business conversations at Soho House would eventually lead us to getting married in Lake Como and welcoming our son Carter James Rogers into the world, Ava says. Cedric and Ava recently marked their two-year anniversary, making it the perfect time to go down memory lane. We spoke to them about preparing for their immaculate wedding in Italy and what they're most excited about as a married couple, 2 years deep, in this week's Bridal Bliss. What made you choose a destination wedding in Lake Como, and how did you find your venue? And Ava says, we wanted our wedding to be more than a single day. We wanted it to be an unforgettable experience that brought together the people we love most. Italy had always been a dream destination because of its beauty, romance, incredible food, and rich culture. Initially, we considered Tuscany, but we ultimately fell in love with Lake Como. The stunning waterfront views, the historic charm, and timeless elegance made it feel like the perfect setting for our celebration. We selected Relais Villa Vittoria, a beautiful lakeside villa, and reserved the entire property for 4 days so our family and friends could stay together and fully enjoy the experience. One of our goals was to create an intimate environment where everyone could connect, celebrate, and make memories together. The wedding ceremony and reception were held on property with a breathtaking dinner overlooking the lake, followed by a private boat cruise around Lake Como. It was exactly the kind of experience we had envisioned, elegant, intimate, and unforgettable. What advice would you give to couples planning a destination wedding? the single best decision we made was hiring a local wedding planner. Our planner, Guja Pasterla, was incredible. Having someone who understands the destination, speaks the language, and has established relationships with the trusted vendors is invaluable when planning from another country. We also recommend choosing a venue that offers flexibility and multiple vendor options. Planning a destination wedding can feel overwhelming at times, but having experienced local partners allows you to enjoy the process and focus on the experience rather than the logistics. Most importantly, remember why you're doing it. A destination wedding is about creating meaningful memories with the people you love. Focus on the experience and everything else will fall into place. What were your favorite moments from the day? And Ava says, walking down the aisle and seeing Cedric waiting for me is a moment I'll never forget. Everything else faded away and it felt like it was just the two of us. After months of planning, seeing him standing there made every emotion hit at once. I also loved being surrounded by our family and friends in such a beautiful place. Looking around and seeing everyone who helped shape our journey together gathered in Lake Como was incredibly special. Our first dance and celebrating together under the stars overlooking the lake are memories I'll cherish forever. And Cedric said, my favorite moment was seeing Ava walk down the aisle. Against the backdrop of Lake Como, it felt like time stopped. After all the planning and anticipation, that was the moment everything became real. I also loved looking around during our reception and realizing that our family and friends had traveled from across the world to celebrate with us. Seeing everyone together in one place, laughing, dancing, and creating memories was incredibly meaningful. The private boat cruise around the lake was another unforgettable moment that allowed us to take it all in and appreciate just how special the day truly was. What are you most excited about when it comes to married life in the future? Ava says, we're excited about continuing to build a life together rooted in love, partnership, faith, and family. One of the most beautiful parts of our journey is that less than a year after our wedding in Lake Como, we welcomed our first child, Carter James Rogers. Becoming parents has been one of the greatest blessings of our lives and has deepened our appreciation for one another in ways we've never imagined. Our wedding was a celebration of the life we hope to build together, and welcoming Carter made that vision a reality. Watching our family grow has been the perfect continuation of our love story. We look forward to raising Carter, creating family traditions, traveling the world together, pursuing our dreams, and supporting one another through every season of life. More than anything, we're excited to continue choosing each other every day and building a legacy grounded in love, purpose, and family for generations to come. When we look back on our wedding photos from Lake Como, we're reminded that we weren't just celebrating a marriage, we were beginning the journey that would lead us to becoming a family of three. The Beauty Justice Act and how Rebundle is raising their braiding hair standard. After a study found lead in their braiding hair, Rebundle is raising their production standard in support of the Beauty Justice Act. And this article is by India S.B. Jones. Earlier this year, Consumer Reports conducted a study proving human hair has even more harmful chemicals than synthetic braiding hair. However, the study also tested Rebundle, a plant-based braiding hair known for being free of heavy metals, positive for lead. But with Rebundle using banana stems, a sustainable non-toxic formula, and known to advocate for Black women's health, the findings were shocking to say the least. We only had 6 hours to digest the findings and respond, Rebundle founder Ciara Imani tells Essence after finally reading Consumer Reports emails, which reached the wrong inbox the day the study was published. We hadn't had a chance to do any further investigations. Since then, she conducted an independent third-party study to find out how their non-toxic formula was exposed to the toxin in the first place. Using the same tests as Consumer Reports, May says they tested 8 different samples at various steps in the production process to track the source of the contamination. Except in the finished product, there wasn't any. No lead, no VOCs. We thought that was interesting, she says. It could have been that particular day, that particular lot, or environmental factors that made it appear on their panel. Ironically, when the study was first published in February, May was in Kenya already working on her braiding hair's production progress. from research and development to switching up ingredients and evaluating textures, and even cutting costs on ingredients their manufacturers consider difficult or expensive to source, we evaluate performance, safety, and cost, she says about production. Even with a patent on banana fiber, which is what their braiding hair is derived from, Rebundle still improves their formula, which includes, of course, the process in which it's produced. And after the report of lead, that means the containers their chemicals are stored in. Depending on what that container is made of, the chemicals can leach, she says. We had to evaluate how to switch to containers that are more inert, like glass, where it won't leach. From noting expiration dates and how long certain chemicals are used in the production line, what we've learned in this process is even if your formula is clean, the manufacturing process can still have issues, she says. Those containers that contain the ingredients can end up in the product. And while there's no safe exposure to lead, it's an environmental metal often found in our food, water, and beauty products. And worst of all, there's no science-backed limit for safe exposure to it. For hair extensions specifically, there aren't necessary standards for what is considered safe, she said. With just days left for New York to pass the Beauty Justice Act, a bill prohibiting the sale of cosmetics and personal care products containing toxic ingredients, including lead, May is still advocating for holding brands accountable for Black women's health, even her own. What we've been advocating for from the beginning is a heightened level of transparency for brands and for some sort of standardization, she says. We are involved with the Beauty Justice Act here in New York to help advocate for regulation. The act would ban only intentionally added toxic chemicals, target the most harmful substances, and finally set science-based limits on lead determined by the Department of Environmental Conservation. States like California, Washington, Oregon, and Vermont have all passed laws on restricting toxic chemicals in personal care products. Meanwhile, the European Union prohibits more than 2,400 chemicals in the same products. But still, not in New York. Rebundle has long pushed for Black women to have higher expectations in beauty products. We were focused on sustainability and safety in the category before it became a hot topic, May says. Now, as standards rise, we have to operate on the same playing field. Next, they told her she had HIV at 19. It was actually lupus. What followed was a years-long battle with the disease, which changed her appearance and left her sick, and a commitment to protect her joy. This article is by Elizabeth Ayula. 9 out of 10 adults with lupus are women. Black women in particular are disproportionately affected by the autoimmune disease. To add a layer of complexity, lupus, known by doctors as the Great Imitator, can masquerade as other conditions. This can lead to medical misdiagnosis, something Black women are all too familiar with. At the age of 19, shortly after finding out she was pregnant, Shanita Matlock got sick. Her primary care physician discovered abnormal blood work and referred her to a rheumatologist who told her, to her complete shock, that she had HIV. I was crying like crazy because I'm like, this can't be. This cannot be my life. I said, y'all got to do something. Y'all have to retake the test, Matlock, now 38, tells Essence. I was very adamant about retaking the test because my mother said I have a history of lupus, and she also told me that lupus can mimic different things, she adds. After getting retested, medical professionals confirmed that Matlock had been misdiagnosed and actually had systemic lupus. It was all devastating. I was hurt, Matlock says. According to a Lupus Foundation of America study, nearly 50% of adults with lupus are misdiagnosed at the onset of symptoms. Some conditions lupus mimics include rosacea, fibromyalgia, Raynaud's syndrome, or rheumatoid arthritis. Symptoms Matlock experienced included tiredness, facial rashes, knee and joint pain, and swelling. Post-diagnosis, she struggled to accept the news, especially because symptoms weren't always evident, and she had periods of feeling normal. Things took a turn for the worse when Matlock passed out one day, and medical professionals told her that her organs weren't functioning properly. You know how you wait for so long and it's kind of too late to fix things? That's kind of what happened to me. I waited too late to make sure I was okay, she explains. Following the fainting incident, her symptoms rapidly intensified, leading to hair loss, sores on her face, inflamed skin, blisters, and discoloration that caused her skin to become pink. Matlock says over time her lupus became more complex, leading to damage that I can't fix, such as discoid lupus, vitiligo, partial alopecia, Raynaud's disease, Sjögren's syndrome, and more. In search of relief, the teacher decided to participate in a clinical trial for Safanilo, which her rheumatologist recommended in 2015. During the early stages of use, she noticed improvements in her symptoms and quality of life. I was in that study for like 5 years, and it just made everything better, but it didn't get approved and they had to stop it. And then when I stopped it, I got sick again, she explains. In 2021, the infusion became commercially available, and Matlock was able to recommence treatment. In April, the Safanlo pen was approved, making it possible for SLE patients to use this treatment at home. Even if I have to be on it for the rest of my life, I will choose to do that, because I feel like if I don't, I'm going to get sick again. This is the only thing that really has helped me stay afloat, she explains. Oral corticosteroids, antimalarials, and immunosuppressants are other common treatments used to minimize SLE symptoms. Almost 2 decades later, being misdiagnosed still affects Matlock, who feels she's always second-guessing and is more nervous when receiving information from medical professionals. Self-advocation is one way she ensures she gets the help she needs so the past doesn't repeat itself. She also makes it a point to ask questions and get a second opinion. The preschool teacher says living with lupus as a Black woman is hard, especially because the condition has impacted her physical appearance. She recalls having to speak up after medical professionals repeatedly administered ineffective treatments that led to holes in her skin and discoloration. She sometimes looks at old pictures to remind herself what she looked like before the autoimmune disease took over. Dealing with stares from strangers also makes living with lupus difficult, Matlock says. It's depressing and it makes you angry. You have to really have self-control and you really have to be able to stand up for yourself as a Black woman because people will make you feel so small. People are mean, she says. Leading with positivity and leaning on community, which she finds in the Lupus Foundation, therapy, and women's groups, helps her hold her head high while managing her condition. You can't be sad when you're in this type of situation because it's just going to bring you down more, and I have to keep reminding myself that. Also, you can't stop advocating for yourself. Ask questions, and if you feel anything is wrong with your body, please go get checked, Matlock says. Make sure your confidence stays high. Don't let anybody bring you down. Stay positive, because that's the only way you're going to make it through. Kay Michelle says her husband cheating isn't a deal breaker, but giving women money is. During a Club Shay Shay episode, the singer admits she draws the line at her husband paying another woman's bills. This article is by Elizabeth Ayula. Singer Kay Michelle is a notorious conversation starter these days, but this time it's about what fidelity looks like inside of her marriage. During a recent appearance on Club Shay Shay, the R&B singer opened up about her relationship with her husband, Kasten Sims, DDS, and her unconventional stance on cheating. She had a controversial take on cheating, saying men will cheat, but she draws the line at her husband spending money on the women he deals with. If men gonna be men and they need the feeling doesn't include paying no bills, she told Sharp. You shouldn't be paying anybody's bills. The last thing that you're going to do is sit up here and pay a fan bill, because I already do it. In other words, the singer says physical infidelity isn't necessarily a deal breaker for her, but financial betrayal is. The reality TV personality also confessed that one time she enjoyed watching Sims with another woman, which some called voyeurism. I kind of like it, the reality TV star admitted. The country singer got married to Sims in 2025, to the surprise of many fans who didn't even know she was dating. Michelle, who's a newbie on The Real Housewives of Atlanta season 17, expressed similar sentiments about cheating during a recent episode of the show. I believe that all men cheat, and my husband doesn't have a social media or anything. That's the sneakiest one of them all. So I've learned to take the positives of it, and that no one can contact him, she said before jokingly adding, that I know of. The couple have known one another since high school. The romantic part of their relationship has also been ever-present since they dated for 10 or 11 years before separating. When the singer was about to marry another man, she says Sim popped a question. The two are hoping to have kids of their own, although the singer already has an adult son. During Real Housewives of Atlanta, she revealed that trying to conceive hasn't been easy since she's struggling with infertility. "I've always wanted a baby girl, but God has a sense of humor and he gave me a son," she shared. "I love my son more than anything in life, but it's always been a thing for me to have a mini-me." Why Accelerate Her has become one of the most coveted spaces for Black women leaders. From Kamala Harris to Beth Ann Hardison, the invite-only Miami gathering gave Black women leaders something increasingly rare: space to connect, recharge, and be fully seen. This article is by Essence Editors. Very few places on this earth exist for Black women to just be, so when you find them, it's important to protect them at all costs. That's exactly how I felt attending my first Accelerate Her conference this past April in Miami. Hundreds of Black women, executives, entrepreneurs, and leaders from across the country descended upon the Ritz-Carlton Key Biscayne for 3 days of fellowship, networking, and as I said, the act of just being around like-minded women. The result? Deeper connections, expanded mindset, sharper wisdom, and of course, a little bit of fun in the sun. Accelerate Her, which is the brainchild of Kim Blackwell, CEO of the PMM agency, and one of the country's top executives in marketing and advertising, hosts the annual event for executive-level women to do just what the name intends, Accelerate Her on all levels. Now, in its fourth year, Accelerate Her is genuinely one of those things where you had to be there, if you're lucky enough to receive an invite. And if you've ever met Blackwell, or at least seen her moves through social media, you know that she does not do generic. And one look at the schedule made that clear. We went from morning fireside chats to lunchtime sessions that moved entirely outside to evening programming that left us full in ways we didn't expect when we walked in. The programming alone was worth the flight to Miami, and I didn't think twice when it came to booking. When your lineup includes the Honorable Kamala D. Harris, Governor and Mrs. Wes Moore, Rosalind Brewer, Kathy Hughes, Beth Ann Hardison, Bishop Vashti McKenzie, Thesunda Brown Duckett, Derek Johnson, Keisha Lance Bottoms, Reverend Cordelia Wallace, and 2 Chainz, among others, the room speaks for itself, and I knew I had to be in the building. The special parts from the week are obviously the ones that don't make it into a recap, such as this, because Black women also need to be able to speak openly and off the record. But Blackwell made sure every moment from sunup to sundown counted. Miami After Dark was bold, vibrant, and unapologetically fun. "I'm rooting for everybody in Black" felt like a love letter to every woman in that room. And the Surviving and Thriving Night, a tribute to 25 years of Destiny's Child Survivor, had everyone in camouflage and reminded you exactly why that song still hits the way it does. And between it all, the Mocha Marketplace gave Black-owned businesses an opportunity to put their brands in front of women of this caliber, women who could generally change the trajectory of their businesses, which felt completely on brand for everything Accelerate Her stands for. Blackwell, an Essence 2024 Power 40 honoree, started Accelerate Her during the pandemic of all times, when Black women needed somewhere to land more than ever. She built a space where wealth panels and poolside drinks and gospel worship in a ballroom all made complete sense in the same weekend. Joy Marie McKenzie Lewis, a media executive and first-time attendee like myself, put it perfectly. The Accelerate Her conference was so unique in that it gathered many like-minded women at different stages in their careers, yet all successful, she said. Best new music this week. Lizzo is back with a new album. Bryson Tiller releases Drop the Low, Vince Staples, and more. Today's list also includes Too Easy from Tinashe and Tierra Wax, Wax Paper. Happy Friday, folks! With summer steadily approaching, some of your favorite artists are dropping great music for the upcoming season. This article is by Okla Jones. Today, Lizzo returns with her first album in almost 4 years, the 12-track LP entitled Bitch, which has a guest appearance from DC-based band UCB on Sexy Ladies. Vince Staples goes independent and releases Crybaby, his 7th studio project. Our list also includes music from Bryson Tiller, Tierra Whack, Tinashe, and more. So Tinashe, Too Easy, Vince Staples, Crybaby, Flo, Don't Break Her Heart, Bryson Tiller, Drop the Low, Lizzo, Bitch, Tierra Whack, Wax Paper, CeCe Winans, The Hymns, Toby Nwiji and Labyrinth, All or Nothing, Manny Wells, Small Chops, Blast featuring Sasha Keeble, Ruin. That's for this week. Those are the hot new drops. All right, well, we hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Essence. We have run out of time for today. Please join us next time. I am Tyra Banks, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or visually impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.